Buddhang dhammang sanghang namassami. I have sat here once before. It's a couple of hours ago. Venerable Emma Renato wanted to make sure we got the microphone in the right place. And then as soon as I got up here, and then Wimelo told me my long johns were showing. So, already I got some of the meaning of this Dhamma Desana, this exposure. And Desana means exposure, I'm told. So that was the first sphere out of the way. And the second one came straight after, which was, for some reason last night I was it last night when I was listening to Venerable Natako's talk, he made a slip of the tongue and he said, it's funny how all the things you were hoping not to have in your mind at this point, they're suddenly here. And I thought, yeah. That's what I'm worried about. And then he said, no, that's not what I meant. It's funny how all the things you thought of saying are not here when you come to... And for some reason the former seems to be more of a... It was more of an issue in my mind last night. And so then what I said to Venerable Wimelo when he was joking about my long johns sort of is unrepeatable. So I thought, now I've got that out of my system, I've said something irreverent, and now I can just relax. And assume it won't happen again. So as I said, I haven't done that much preparation. But for some reason, there is one thing that just comes back to mind year after year after year about sitting in this kind of situation to give a talk, and it's this. It's when Krishnamurti would give his talks and he'd say, we're going into this together. And then someone would think, oh, that's good, we'll join in. So they'd say something and they'd say something and, you know, add their bit. And he'd say, no, please, sir, we're going into this together. And it's this sort of conundrum of Krishnamurti's that, what does this mean, we're going into this together? Somehow it seems as if it does have a meaning. And I have to say that this giving Dhamma talks in the monastery hall is I used to do this in Wellington, in the monastery there where I was living for 4 years, 3 to 4 years, and I developed a bad attitude to this in some ways, where I just thought it was too sort of formal, and I know these monks and I don't know them, and it's a meditation place and it's hard to speak into, and it doesn't seem to be too much of an issue here. But I seemed to make that into an issue when I was in Wellington. And I always wanted to talk, you know, I always wanted to say, well, look, heckle or something, just let's have some interaction, you know. The silence is killing me, you know. And I discovered recently that I really enjoy going to schools and talking to teenagers because they're seething with energy, you know, and it just seems to fill a gap and brings me to life. But then I thought, no, it's not really right for me to invite interruptions. But actually something in me does crave for that. When we were in Wellington, when I was in Wellington, we had a rule about talks, actually. They were only supposed to be half an hour long. We decided, you know, that's when we get quality attention span, is in the first half hour. And maybe quality talk too. I'm not really sure about quality talk because sometimes it seems to take a while to warm up, doesn't it? And then there's this thing called getting comfortable with the microphone, which can come in. And is that good? But I do want to stay with this theme of going into this together. I think I don't think I've actually said it before in a talk, maybe once. It's certainly been with me for years. Actually, one thing I did want to say, which I have thought of, is that I'm very grateful to be here in Amaravati. I'm grateful to Lumpur for being here all these years, and some of you who I know have also been here all these years. And how did this hall get here? It came here while I was away in Australia and New Zealand. And there's been so much work and people who've put so much into it. I don't know who the donors are. I know something about who put in the work and the management. But I think the thing I feel even more grateful for than the hall is the atmosphere in general here. It's it's very important. I don't want to underrate this hall, this oaken hall. It's like I know I'm back in England, and it's unbelievable hall. But the atmosphere is still more important than having come to Amaravati, and I several times thought, yeah, this is what I was trying to do when helping to get the community going again in Wellington. When I got to Wellington about 4 years ago, there wasn't much monastic community left there. There were two monks who weren't really on speaking terms, and that was about it. A couple of Anagarikas who seemed to be more together than the monks. So there was a bit of community building to do. and a lot of scope for, well, what do I want this community to be like? And a lot of discoveries about, well, all very well to have ideas, but enacting them is a great learning experience. And so it's nice to come here and find that other people have done the learning, and the atmosphere is here already, and there's a sense of, yes, this is what I was hoping to do, hoping to find, hoping to create. This conviviality in meditation is part of it, that connection, that with life, conviviality means with life, doesn't it? And where, you know, meditation is a kind of, there's something death-like about the meditation practice and the ascetic ideal of it. And this lifelike approach of conviviality is quite heartwarming. So I really want to thank everyone who's helped to create that. Those who don't come and sit up here yet, but they do say their piece and they find ways to say it where it happens, so it's been enacted. So there's this atmosphere, which I really like. So after deciding to leave the community in Wellington, which is going really well now, by the way. I'm still a bit restless. I'm off to Switzerland in April. They'd already bought me my ticket. If they hadn't, I think I might not go, actually. Easy to say, isn't it, when you've got your ticket? But it's a big thank you, yeah. To come here and find this. I also enjoy this. I'm happy to sort of reiterate or have a sense of building on what Venerable Nartiko said last night. I enjoyed that, and a sense of adding to. Well, what else is there to say? Anything else? And this stern reminder of Lungpo's this morning, we are doing this together. So, who's here? Anyone missing tonight? So what else? I actually, I thought, okay, instead of making, when I was in Wellington, I always used to make a problem out of the fact that the monks had heard me say everything before, and I'm sure they hated it, and I said, well, you don't have to come, you know, I'd rather you weren't here. If you heard me say all this before, I don't think you want to hear me give another talk. And they would always come, anyway. And I was suspicious why they came. It seemed as if when I was a junior monk, I was afraid of the senior monks always expecting a certain standards of etiquette and discipline. And then when I went to Wellington, it seemed like I was afraid of the junior monks who seemed to expect all this formality and proper meetings. And so they always came to my talks, but I always thought they were coming out of this duty. And but I don't feel that here, and I was going to I had in mind, I almost wrote out these cards. I was going to give one monk a card saying, get real, when I start getting a bit in my head with this talk. And another one, speak up. And I just got to shut up. And then I thought, wait a minute, something positive. And I thought, well, real would do. So I didn't get the prompting cards, but we were close. We almost got them. So we're almost up to the half hour. I think we have got to 20 minutes. I have had quite a while. I've decided that 20 minutes was enough for my talks. And all the irreverent things haven't come, so I don't feel embarrassed sitting next to the Apollonian Buddha statue and the best Sangha that have ever graced Amaravati. Although we don't know what was there a nun's monastery here once, I heard? We don't know what that was like. Christian monastery. But we've got less than 2 weeks, isn't it, till the end of the retreat? And what haven't we done that we should have done? I had this sort of peak experience, my peak experience of the retreat. Or is it sitting here like this? Now, my peak experience of the retreat was, I think it was the last Upasika, that's right, we had this discussion in the monks' common room. And all sitting in the armchairs, and we had a discussion. And I came and sat in here after that, and I just found this great sense of being in the body, you know, in my body, in this sense of blissful embodiment. And it was, that's it, conviviality in meditation. I got it. So I went and told Lungpo, I got it, conviviality in meditation. It's very pleasant. It's very satisfying, that's what I'd say. Satisfying meditation. Satisfying. And this embodiment. I always have a suspicion. Am I really in my body? Or am I, sometimes I think I'm speaking from just up here somewhere. But it just definitely felt embodied. That was very satisfying. So I think it's the ambition of my 40s to make sure I really am embodied before I start disintegrating. And speaking of the 40s, they are very interesting, aren't they? It's turning 40. And I pretty much decided to leave Wellington just about turning 40, seems to be quite a common theme to be leaving somewhere and everything seems to turn to ashes. At 40. And somehow seems to go to everything turning to ashes at 40 seems to go with naughty at 40. You know, there's this sort of, suddenly there's this teenage stuff again. I was I was on a shiatsu course recently. Shiatsu is a kind of body work, kind of a Japanese healing, meridian healing. And towards the end of the course, the teacher gave us these articles written by one of the big shiatsu gurus, Ohashi. And he was writing about the dangers of being a healer. He said, the basic theme of it seemed to be all healers are doomed. You're all in it for the wrong reason, and you're all going to make trouble for yourselves trying to be healers for the wrong reason. And I thought, this sounds familiar, this attitude. There's a bit of an attitude this guy's got. And I looked at the bottom, and it turned out he was 40 when he wrote this article. And I thought, it's just what I feel about monastics. We're all doomed. Monastics are all doomed. So I thought, it's not just a European thing, it's Japanese as well. Got it? We're not just inventing it. Anyway, I think the answer's 42 now. I'm going to be 42 soon. And I think it's all going to be resolved. My mother told me that her 40s were the best time of her life. So I'm trying to look at it that way. I've seen a lot of the monks going a bit funny in their 40s, so I started off a bit pessimistic. But I'm feeling quite good at Amaravati, actually. Too funny, although I just had got a new Sanghati. I was got the impression my old Sanghati was a bit funny. This is about as bad as it's got. But this practice is now, isn't it? It's important to be said. I think I'm going to finish there. And if you want any more, then come and see me some other time.